the president says that he has, and Rudy Giuliani says this too, so it must be true, that the president evidently has the unfettered ability to pardon himself from any crimes that he may have committed or may commit. Remember that you can be impeached without having committed a crime, and you can commit crimes and not be impeached for them. Impeachment is a political process, and then there's the criminal justice department. But the Congress could decide that you get to stay president regardless, or they could impeach you even if you did not commit a crime. But the president has the power to pardon. Lord, we know that because we're all kind of sitting here on pins and needles wondering if he's going to commute the sentence anyway of Rod Blagojevich. But it begs the question about what's the purpose of the pardon anyway, and is the president's interpretation of it correct? Dave Schultz is a professor of constitutional law at the University of Minnesota. He's one of America's foremost experts on constitutional law. And he joins us on WGN. Dave, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you today?
Are you wearing a swell T-shirt?
I actually am, but I was thinking about it as that conversation was going. I think I got a couple of those T-shirts, too, that I really like so much that I never wear them. It's strange, isn't it? It is.
So does the president – tell me what the power of the pardon is.
Okay. The power of the pardon is listed in Article 2 of the Constitution, and it grants the president pretty broad ability to grant pardons and clemencies. And the power goes back to, really, the King of England, you know, back to England. And I think the original idea behind the pardoning power was to say that whether out of mercy or maybe perhaps somebody was wrongfully, you know, convicted of something, that presidents would have this broad ability to say that a person has paid enough debts to society or, again, was wrongly convicted. And I think that's the purpose why we have the pardoning power in there in terms of its purpose, because I think, you know, oftentimes dispensing justice and dispensing mercy, probably not a bad thing to do in our society.
But we have a court system that I thought was charged with that responsibility. It seems to me like anymore, I hear or think about pardons as abuses, not as merciful and well thought out acts.
I think it's a good observation. You're right, and I think the original idea was to say that, I'll go back to it, for let's say wrongful convictions or something like
but
that.
But you have a recourse in the system if you're wrongfully convicted.
No, you're absolutely correct. That's what I'm saying, is that one could make the argument, and some people could make the argument and say that perhaps presidents shouldn't be able to do pardoning anymore. But that was the original idea behind it. Whether or not it is an antiquated idea that's maybe should have never carried over from the days when kings could do whatever they want.
Yeah, right.
And that's a reasonable debate to have here.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, give me an example of an egregious abuse. Was Bill Clinton's last day in office an egregious abuse of the pardon? What stands out in your mind, regardless?
Some could argue that when he issued some pardons on the last day that included several of his friends, I think one of them might have been a donor or something like that.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty high on the list in terms of it. Now, depending on how partisan you want to be, some people will argue that when Gerald Ford in 1974 pardoned Richard Nixon, even though he had not been indicted for a crime, some people argued that that was potentially an abuse of a pardoning power.
All right, either way, the president has this right. But can he pardon himself?
I'm going to say that the weight of most legal authority and legal scholars is to say, no, he cannot. Okay. And the reason why I say that is that even though we look at the text of the Constitution, it doesn't say he has the power to pardon himself. It doesn't say he doesn't have the power to pardon himself. We've got a couple of court cases out there over time that suggest broader broad readings of pardoning power. But at the end of the day, many of us would come back to a couple of basic principles. One of them is that nobody should be able to put themselves above the law and say that I don't have to be held accountable in a criminal court if indicted. And if you were to allow the president or any president to indict him or herself, presidents could do that. And then two, as I've given several talks, is to say that presidents are not kings, or for those people who are second-generation Star Trek fans, remember Captain Picard who used to say, make it so, and whatever, make it so with what he wanted to happen? Presidents are not Captain Picard. We have this complex process called checks and balances and separation of powers. It's to prevent one person from being judge, jury, and executioner. So if we take those basic principles of common law, basic principles of ideas that say nobody is above the law, the vast majority of constitutional scholars would say the president cannot pardon himself.
Constitution doesn't forbid it, though. It doesn't say the president has the power of pardon and clemency with the exception of himself. It doesn't specifically say that.
It doesn't specifically say that. You're absolutely correct, but if we were to go back to some of the debates surrounding the writing of the Constitution in 1787, the original debates, there were concerns about the scope of presidential pardoning power, concern that we didn't want presidents to be exactly like kings. And so if we can apply those constitutional principles to the situation here, I would argue, and again, the vast majority, if I were to take 100 constitutional scholars, I would say 90 to 95 of them would easily say president can't pardon himself.
Rudy Giuliani begs to differ today.
Yeah, well, Rudy Giuliani is not a constitutional law expert. And Rudy Giuliani is hired to advocate for the president of the United States.
I get that.
The other thing which I would argue is that Trump is getting dangerously close to what I call a Richard Nixon moment. And what I mean by Richard Nixon moment is when Nixon uttered the phrase, I am not a crook. And in a situation like this now, where if the president's assertion is no longer, I didn't do anything wrong, to, well, I can just pardon myself, that's getting very close to what? Acknowledging the fact that one may, in fact, have broken the law and is going to try to escape responsibility by pardoning oneself out of it. I'm not sure that's the direction they really want to go, but that's where they're headed.
I think a lot of this pardoning talk is also a signal to the president, to his allies, that if they break the law on his behalf or lie to investigators, which is a crime, he'll pardon them. It's him getting in front of whatever machinery he needs to keep himself from being impeached or indicted.
And that is a possibility, but there's something else interesting, though. If he decides to pardon all these individuals, it has a different implication. Imagine, for example, that John Williams is a prosecutor and he's prosecuting David Schultz for violating some law. And you want me to testify, and I say no. I plead my Fifth Amendment rights, which I'm entitled to do so. Well, you as a prosecutor could say, well, heck, I am going to give you immunity from prosecution, and when that happens, I can no longer assert my Fifth Amendment rights, and I have to testify. If Trump starts to now issue broad pardons to individuals, that's effectively the same thing, which means at that point, they would be what? Not able to claim Fifth Amendment, and potentially would be required to testify.
Right, they can't incriminate themselves because the president's already pardoned them, so their obligation would then fall back onto having to testify and tell the truth.
Exactly, and who knows what the truth is going to reveal. Now, I actually think the worst thing that can happen to Donald Trump right now is if, let's say, we're just going to, don't anybody read anything to what I'm saying here on one level, but let us say Mueller has concluded that, in fact, Trump has broken the law. That if Mueller were smart, and I think he might do this, he might say, well, the precedent from back with Nixon was that the president can't be indicted. He's just an unindicted co-conspirator in whatever it may be. Think about how bad that is for the president of the United States. He can't issue a pardon because, well, he's not been indicted. He can't have himself, acquitted in a criminal proceeding because there is no proceeding here. I think that becomes the worst possible scenario for Mueller in terms of labeling the president unindicted co-conspirator.
Well, I've been wondering about the timing of this, Dave Schultz. Dave Schultz is a professor of constitutional law at the University of Minnesota and has been invited, by the way, to South Korea to talk to them about our constitution and their constitution. We'll get to that in just a couple of seconds. But I've been wondering about the timing of all of this, Dave. That is, the president doesn't have anything to pardon himself for right now. If something happened that would cause him to no longer be president, then he loses the power to pardon himself. Could he proactively, preemptively pardon himself? I'm just wondering, like, how would the chips fall in order for him to actually execute that? Because if you're found guilty of a crime or if you're thrown out of office, you lose the power of the pardon. And so then it's too late. So talk to me about that. Dave Schultz is a professor of constitutional law at the University of Minnesota. We're talking to him about the president's ability to pardon himself. The timing is critical, isn't it, Dave? I mean, you can't pardon yourself if you haven't committed a crime. And if you've committed a crime, you might be thrown out of office and lose the power to pardon yourself. So how would something that work?
Well, yes and no. First off, we're still assuming the president can pardon himself. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, he can pardon
himself. Which, by the way, you say he cannot, but keep going.
He cannot do it. Okay. We know from back when Ford pardoned Nixon back in 1974, he did that before Nixon was ever charged with a crime, and the courts upheld that. So you could do an anticipatory pardon. I'll use that phrase. You can kind of anticipate that and do that. The second thing to keep in mind here is the Constitution's clear that the president can't use the pardoning power to escape impeachment. So that, let's say, Congress is moving towards an impeachment proceeding, and the president says, well, I'm going to pardon myself. Can't do that. I think your introduction was great when you said that the impeachment process was a political process. I think that captures it really well here. So we know that the pardon couldn't be used for impeachment. And clearly, once the president is, let us say, no longer president, couldn't impeach himself either. I mean, couldn't pardon himself.
Pardon himself. Yeah. It's 2:28. I just got a few seconds left. Why are you going to go to South Korea?
It's the 70th anniversary of their Constitution, and the National Assembly, which is the equivalent of our Congress, asked me to come out and give a talk about the U.S. Constitution and some of the parallels between it and South Korean Constitution, and then also a second conference they asked me to come to talk about election law in the United States. And the side trip will be, assuming nothing goes crazy, we're going to go up to the DMZ.
I wonder if we lose some of our authority on the subject of free and fair elections in the world when, A, we've been hacked, and, B, we just had the sort of turmoil and the sort of looking around the law that we're talking about. Are we no longer the beacon of light on elections in the world, or are we still?
We've lost a lot of credibility internationally, although we are still looked at for a variety of reasons for help. But it's much more ambiguous than it used to be.
That's a shame. So when are you going over to South Korea?
Is on July 10th, and then it's a very quick trip. It's only for 6 days. I'll barely be over my jet lag, but it might be a fun conversation to have because it'll be about a month after the supposed, you know, Trump conference, and granted, Trump North Korean conference or summit. I know that's taking place in Singapore, but I'm going to be in the capital. I'm going to be talking to people who are in the South Korean government. I might learn something interesting.
Just before, during, or after, come on our show again, Dave.
Love to do so.
By the way, your book, Presidential Swing States, is in its second printing, and it's a book about the 10 states that matter in a presidential election. And you've got a book coming out about Scalia, too, correct?
Correct. Several of us are assessing the legacy that Antonin Scalia had on the Supreme Court for 30 years. And so both those books are literally due out from the printer in the next, I would say, 6 weeks.
By the way, do I remember correctly, 10 states?
It's now up to 12. We added to that Michigan and Pennsylvania.
All right. This book about presidential swing states is called Presidential Swing States, and it's by Dave Schultz. Dave, stay busy, stay well, and let's visit again down the road.
Great. Talk to you soon.